for the presence of Joely here. We pray for our Pastor Joely that you give him the message from you and send us to us. Mm-hmm. And we pray for his family, for his role in this church, and also for the journey of the leader of in our church and also in our community. We thank you and we pray and we praise you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Sorry. Greetings, everyone. Hello. Last night I called home. Christmas 2013. I got a call from Fiji that my stepfather has died and my mom is dying. And I have to fly to Fiji, and I believe many of us in this kind of community faces that all the time, amen? And so I went down and buried my stepfather and talked to the doctors. They said, this is the time you spend with your mother because you will never have this opportunity again. So we went down and talked. After the burial service, I went and asked the doctor if I could take my mom and bring him to my hotel room. So I did. I spent time with her there. Every morning we were singing hymns and so that was 2015. So yesterday we were talking. Happy Mother's Day. That's what I said to my mother. Happy Mother's Day. Yeah. How many of you call your mother back at home? Remember, it's Mother's Day, International Mother's Day, this Sunday. I just want to draw that attention to you. Our mother play special role in our lives, amen? And I love about this community, not only that we live here, but many of us financially supporting the welfare and the well-being of those of our family back at home. And we need to remember the families that we represent as we live here in Norway. So if you haven't called your mom, do it after the service. We're going to talk about the mission of the kingdom. We're progressing in the book of Matthew. And what I'm going to do, I'm just going to recap quickly some of the stuff that we've done so far. We talk about the Sermon on the Mount. We read about how Jesus addresses our character. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who are humble, blessed are the merciful. So Jesus addresses our character. And on the second one here, Jesus speaks of our influence, being salt and being light. And then on the third one, Jesus speaks of our righteousness. He's speaking about our inner righteousness. He's comparing the righteousness that is greater than the religious righteousness of the Pharisee. He said, my righteousness is what will bring you to the kingdom. So Jesus also highlights our devotion. And here he speaks of our prayer. He speaks of our devotional life with God himself. And then our ambition. He speaks of our ambition, our agenda, our motives on certain things, and speaking about the love of money. It's not that we are supposed to, as Christians, to enjoy the provision and the blessings of God. Amen? But there's something happens when we engage ourselves, that the motivation of our heart is straight away. We know that love of money, people destroy each other, war, people, nations are at war. It's so powerful. And also, here we see Jesus turns and he challenged our relationship in chapter 7. He said, do not judge or you will be judged. And he speaks of how important our relationship as a church. He judges. And many times the warning that is there, that when we do the things that is not inspired by the Holy Spirit, that is not moved by the conviction of God, like judging, there is no blessing in it. Amen? You won't be blessed if we judge people. If we gossip people, there's no reward in it. And the challenge for us to work together as a church and not against each other, but to come together to be an environment in which the Spirit of God come and use freely the lives of people that are dedicated to him. Jesus turns to our relationship. And then also, last one, Jesus challenged and he examines our wholeheartedness, our willingness to obey him. And he speaks of the man who don't obey God is like a man who built his house on the sand. Amazing. So this is the Sermon on the Mount. And then we move on to chapter 8 that speaks about the identity and the deity of this person. So Matthew is writing here in his narratives that he speaks about the teaching of Jesus, and now he's about to speak about the acts of Jesus, the demonstration of Jesus. So you will see that throughout the book of Matthew. Jesus teach, and then he went and do something. Jesus teach, and then he went and do something. So this is an example of it. In Matthew chapter 8, we see Jesus manifesting his power, the power over sickness. He met a guy with leprosy, and at that time, if you have leprosy, the Jew and the Judaism, they believe that if you have leprosy, it is a divine judgment or curse from God. Therefore, only God can heal you. There is no cure for leprosy. And here Jesus came. So for the lepers, this sickness is dangerous. You know, there is no cure. So whatever, their flesh just fall out of the body. So they're outcasts. They live in the holes and in caves, in isolation from civilization, away from their family and their loved ones. They are rejected and outcast. So when they're walking in town, in public, they have to yell out, unclean, unclean. Yeah, so people be aware. Oh, wait, let's move away from these guys. Now Jesus came, reached out his hand, and touched the leper and said, be clean. He was clean. He demonstrated the power that only God can do is now walking in the midst of us, demonstrating his power to the people. And then here we have Jesus' power over nature. Be still. Jesus' power over demonic force. We don't talk about demons in the church anymore. But it's very important as Christians that we know what the Bible says about this. And Jesus' power over sin. That explains that only Jesus can forgive you and cleanse you from all our sin. All of us is humanity. And he did that on the cross for us. Make it possible for humanity to be reconciled with God, reconciled with man, and reconciled with our own self. As we go to chapter 9, we speak of the mission of the kingdom. So now Jesus slowly moving his disciples, changing them, discipling them in the heart. And then he's about to do something. Then he demonstrate his power. Yeah, see that progression? And then now he said, you go and do what you've seen here. So when he saw the crowd, he had compassion on them because they were harassed. They were helpless, like sheep without shepherd. Then he said to the disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers, they are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Jesus called his disciples to him, and he gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and heal every disease and sickness. So these 12 Jesus sent out with the following instruction. He said, do not go among the Gentiles, not yet, and enter to any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. He said, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. He said, freely you have received, freely you must give. The mission of the kingdom. The mission is crucial. It's talking about people without shepherd. And we see here in Ezekiel chapter 34, it talks about the people of God with no shepherd. And they're compared to be sheep that were scattered. Nobody seemed to care. So the chapter we're reading here is that the Lord himself would find the sheep. He himself would gather them. He himself would shepherd the flock. So the great conviction we see here in the book of Matthew is what God was planning in the book of Ezekiel about the sheep that has gone astray. He had demonstrated in the book of Matthew that shepherd, that shepherd of Israel has come. Amen? What God was planning long ago has now come to pass. He has compassion, for he sees the crowd. Yeah, demonstrated in Matthew. He sees the crowd helpless, like sheep without shepherd. So he has come as a shepherd. But not only that, but he also brought his disciples. He equipped them so they can join him in this work. Not only to join him, but they will continue in this work. The mission is crucial. We see here the mission also is shared. So the disciples, they didn't go alone. Yeah? They went as a group. I like this picture because there is Matthew, who's a tax collector, businessman. There is Luke, is an expert in health or a doctor. And then there is Peter, the fisherman, and you put them all together in one team with different characters and personalities, and then you release them to go. Amazing, huh? The diversity. Must be difficult to put together a team like that. But it is mission that becomes the bond of this man, of these people. You see? It binds them together for one purpose. I like that. There is mutual support. There is testimony, the witnessing with each other. I remember a few years ago, I was working for the InterVarsity ministry in Fiji. So I would go to different campuses and preach. We were young. So I have a bunch of guys. Sometimes I have to tell them, hey, you need to go to your home, because they're all camping in my house. You know, they're all single, they're students. And every time I go and preach, they come. You know, they will come with me. For a few years, we've been doing that. And they would go sit at the back and then leading worship, yeah, get the guitar. And so I taught some of them how to play guitar. It was not intentional. It's just evolved in our relationship. This is back in our culture. So we're like grouping together. Guess what? When you talk about 2017, if I think of each of these people, yeah, some are pastors, some are directors of mission organization, some are working all over the world doing stuff. And I think, sometimes I get discouraged. Maybe I should go do other things. But when I remember what God has been doing and I see the fruit of what he's doing, impacting people's life, I get encouraged and inspired that these guys are going out there. God has placed them in few strategic areas. And it's about teaching. It's about bringing people along. And that's what Jesus did. He bring and he showed these people his power, the disciples, and he said, now you go. You go do this. Mission needs to be shared. And many times in our church, we categorize people, oh, they do this, they do this. We are together as a team, amen? And what we do in reaching our community, it's not just the pastors or the leaders. Everyone is engaged. Everyone is praying. Everyone is doing. Everyone plays a role. There is encouragement going. There is prayer going. There is provision. Hey, you need something. That's what we do. We call, there's a joke we always say to the guys back at home at that time, here is your 50 cents. Because when we would go, some of our friends or auntie who are working, hey guys, this is for your taxi fare, wherever you go, $5. So we would split that $5 and share it with each other. And now, 2017, we look back at where this, and I said, do you remember that time when we used to share these $5 just for our bus fare? Yeah? And now they are in a place of influence. Today we commission Bansi, that is, and his family. That is very significant for us. Yeah? God never ran out of people. That's why he brought us together. This mission is also complex. Matthew here describes this mission. Jesus said, you're going to go and teach them about the kingdom. Yeah? Teach them the heart of the kingdom. And then this is what you're going to do. You teach them, you heal the sick, you cast out demons. No, these are radical statements. I'm looking at this like, whoa. Yes. I want to see this happen. I think one time we had a team in the Philippines. They were all ready to go. They said, with YWAM. And then they were ready to pray for people. You know, it's easy for us to go out of our church and do radical stuff out there and then come back and we settle back to our little comfortable place. It's easy going out because not many people knows us. So they came these young people, they were so energized and full of excitement. Their first mission trip. And this guy came, hey, please come pray for my friend. He's dying. And then he ran, so they were following him. And they came, they saw a man on the bench. He was lying down. So they came and they lay hands and they start praying for this man. And then he woke up, you know, his eyes, they were praising God. And then the guy ran from another corner. Hey, not that one. That's the drunken man. Come, the sick man is here. I said, okay. There's fun in mission. I like the excitement, eh? Different cultures, we encounter things differently. Jesus teaches them. Our mission, not only that we are out there to help people in their care for their need, but also speak of them, of the message of the kingdom. Anything we do that might not have the message and the component of what we do, the message of the kingdom, that no one, that all will have eternal life, that all will put their faith in Christ. There's many humanitarian effort out there without the message of eternity. And Jesus says that. So these guys should expect, when we go, they should expect God's power. Amen? They should expect healing. Somebody said to me, you know, Joely, I don't believe in healing. I'm sorry. I said, yeah, that's fine. That's not a problem. I believe in Jesus, but I don't believe in healing. That's not a problem. I won't argue with you. You're still my brother in the Lord. But many, if you don't believe in healing, if you don't believe in miracle, you are not going to pray for miracle. Amen? People who don't believe in this thing, they won't pray for it. We are seeing God answering prayers left and right in this church. Yeah? Very soon we'll have more people leaving this place. Not because they don't want to be here, but because God is opening doors. He's answering the prayer of the people. And many times we get caught up in the little things that we forgot that the mighty hands of God is working around you and your family and your children. Amen? He is listening to your prayers. Expect great things. We have a team that's going to Fiji. I'm not saying that because I'm from Fiji. No, the experience that people have wherever they go and whatever culture, that they stand out of their comfort zone and trust God and have a hands-on experience that their faith is tested. I remember the first time I was sharing my testimony to people. You know, I'm naturally an extremely shy guy. When the shyness kicks in, I really don't like it. You know, and then God would put me in different places where my shyness has to go. Yeah? But it is the gospel and the message of Jesus Christ you can't shy away from. Amen? And that was the beginning of my standing in front of people. Expect great things. We should claim the power of God. Amen? In what we do, even every day. The mission of God is strategic. Jesus said to them, don't go to Samaria and the Gentile. Go first to the Jews. Yeah? That will come. But this is where you go now. Proclaim to them the message of the kingdom. The shepherd is here, for the kingdom is at hand. In other words, the one who holds the key of eternal life is now walking among them. Go tell them that. That those who believe in Christ will have eternal life. So he said, go first to the house of Israel. Very strategic. And that comes to us also as a church. In the next 5 years, we're going to be celebrating our 51st anniversary of our existence here in this city. And it's something amazing when I look at that, I look back, my heart gets faster, beats faster, because there is an incredible purpose of God of why we are strategically placed here. Just like Bansi and Kay, as they depart, will move here and relocate to Brazil. There is a reason. You know, Bansi is talking about salt and light. I like that. That's exactly what we are. Amen? We are salt and light. God doesn't do things by accident. There's a reason why you're here. There is a divine, specific divine purpose of God. How long are you going to be here? Wherever you're going to be moved from here, that as long as we move everywhere, or where we sit down or whatever we do, God's hand is involved in our lives. You see, the disciples, Jesus trained them. He speaks truth in their life. We talk about the characters of the kingdom. He molded them. He briefed them. He gave them the principle that will work and the principle that will hinder their ministry. He gave them characteristics that will bring blessing. He gave them characteristics that will hinder our effectiveness as Christians. They have their instruction. They have their story. They have their experience. They are all witness to the power of Christ. What is your story? What is my story? What is your story? The mission of Jesus looks like Jesus. Amen? And that's very important for us to understand. Is Jesus shaped? Jesus doesn't send out to go and do something that doesn't reflect the kingdom, that doesn't reflect the principles of God. He saw something. We read, when he saw the crowd, he cared, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless. They're like sheep without shepherd. He prayed. He asked the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. And he gave them his power. That is amazing. Every mission centered around Jesus. When the disciples are called to go and preach that the kingdom of God is near, what it really means is that the kingdom of God is near, because here is the kingdom. The one who holds the key to the kingdom is near. Jesus is at hand. The kingdom of Jesus is shaped also. Whoever finds his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life, he said, for my sake, is the person that will find it. Jesus also gave authorization to the disciple. This power. Gives direction. He warned them on an attitude about money. Remember, he taught that in chapter 5. And now he sent them in chapter 9. He said, don't carry too much money with you. Every instruction of Jesus is vital to our calling. He speaks to them about endurance. He speaks to them about being administer of peace in where they're going. And their likeness of who he is. Everything they do reflects Jesus. Their reaction, their response to rejection that will come their way. It is not easy. Everything reflects the kingdom. Jesus care. He had compassion. The meaning of compassion in Greek is something very powerful. It's too complicated to, I can't pronounce the word. But he says that it's something moved from deep within his guts. Something that compelled him when he saw that the people were hopeless. It moved him. It compelled him to do something. It's not just a feeling sorry kind of thing. It is a compassion that brings a seriousness in how critical my action will be. Go rather to the lost sheep. As you go, proclaim the message of the kingdom. Who is to go? Few of them, all of them. They went two by two. There is a mutual support and encouragement as they go. They were all witness of Jesus. To whom they go, says there, to the lost sheep. How are they to go? They must go and expect God to work. Amen? Go and expect the hand of God to work on their behalf. The disciples are called to see. They are called to care. They are called to pray. They are also a call to receive from God. And they are called to go. All of them. They went. Doctors, fishermen, businessmen. They all went. I don't know if all of them preached, but I believe they were all witnesses to the amazing message of God. Amen? We may not all preach. We may not all do the things that others call ministries, but we as a church are all witnesses of Jesus Christ because of his transforming work in our lives. Amen? And we are witnesses. Again, Jesus saw the crowd. He had compassion. And his compassion compels him to move. Yeah? Let me just go back here quickly because I like this. The harvest is plentiful. Yeah? Let me just say one thing. We are not the Lord of the harvest. Amen? We are called to pray that the Lord Christ is the Lord of the harvest. He's the one that brings transformation. And our partnership with him begins with our prayer. If we don't pray, we don't have God's heart for people. If we don't pray for one another, we will start pointing fingers for each other. If don't encourage one another, we will end up discouraging each other. If we don't speak affirmation to each other, we'll end up gossiping about one another. And I said before, there is no blessings in this. And as a church, this is where we build one another. This is where God's Spirit is moving in us. So pray for your church. Pray for your leaders. Pray for your pastors. Pray for each other. That God will empower all of us. Amen? All of us as a church to do the things that He has called us to do. And then we will see great blessings and great harvest as a result. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you for teaching us. We pray, Lord Jesus, that we will respond to your word. I pray for those who are tired. I pray for those who are busy. I pray for those of us who are carrying burden today, that you will come and just give them your peace. I pray for relationships in this church, that you will bind us together, that you will bring reconciliation, true reconciliation, that you will take this church, Lord, to bring glory and honor to your name, that many will come to your kingdom because they believe in your message. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to invite us, if we can stand up together and say together our affirmation of faith.